any ultimate player, if you think about throwing a flat throw, it's on so much hyzer and nose up. And I think if you're only used to throwing one disc for your whole life, as I was, it was totally eye-opening to like throw a different kind of disc and be like, why is it hyzering out every single time? Because what a neutral disc actually is, like for disc golf, is so far off of how an ultimate disc flies.
Hello and welcome to Approachable. I'm Joe Henderson.
And I'm Paige Pierce. And today we have Ella Hansen on the podcast. This is someone I've been wanting to talk to for a while about ultimate and the crossover.
Yeah, definitely. As someone who only played ultimate in gym or like PE, like I don't know very much about ultimate. So I'm like super stoked to hear about how she got into ultimate and then how that crosses over to disc golf, all the similarities, all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, we talk about it often inside the sport. We see Brody Smith coming up and Ella coming up, and we're always so curious about what the benefits are, but I want to get deeper into it. Playing catch is my favorite pastime, hands down, even more so than disc golf. Like, I want to go play catch. Something about the frisbee flying in the air that you just lose all track of like your surroundings, and you just like, if I feel like a dog just like chasing after the frisbees. I've been chatting a lot with Ella and with Juliana Corver this year on tour about getting into ultimate more. And so I'm excited to have more of a conversation and to let you guys hear what she thinks the biggest gives and takes are between her career in ultimate and now her career in disc golf.
Yeah. And sounds like she bought a van too. So I'm excited to hear like,
did she?
Yeah. It sounds like she bought a van and it sounds like she's working on that. So I'm excited to hear more about how that's going for her, what kind of changes she's making to it.
Cool.
And yeah, it's going to be sweet.
Now I got even more questions. Van life is a great topic. A lot of people want to know about that too. So we'll definitely have to ask her about the van. And I'm really excited to get chatting with Ella. Let's go ahead and bring her on.
Let's go. We are here with Ella Hansen, two-time Ultimate World Champion and 2021 Rookie of the Year, sponsored by Disc Mania.
What's up? How's y'all doing?
We're doing great. How are you?
Good. I'm doing good.
Thanks for joining us. This is actually a conversation I've wanted to have like all of season one. We were brainstorming who we wanted to talk to, how we could really like make this episode really good. And Joe and I both were like, we got to get Ella. She is a world champion, like you said, rookie of the year. And there's just so many things that I want to know about in the ultimate to disc golf turnovers. First of all, are you happy with going to disc golf? Or would you, if you could do it all again, would you stay in ultimate?
No, I'm happy in disc golf. I really enjoy playing disc golf. I think it's, a lot of people ask me, like, if I had to pick one, which one would I pick? And that's a tough question for me because I think there's really great things about both ultimate and disc golf. For myself, I really am enjoying, you know, being a full-time professional athlete playing disc golf, and I just really love the sport as well. And you can't really be a full-time professional athlete in ultimate. So both of those things make it pretty cool to be in disc golf.
Why is that?
I mean, there's like a lot of parts. In the past probably 5-ish years, they've started both men's and women's like professional leagues, but they're really semi-pro. So it's like you might get paid $25 a game and you don't have to pay for your travel and expenses and practice fees and stuff. But typically in ultimate, like, you pretty much pay for all the expenses, travel, tournament entry fees, practice fields, food, all of it. Yeah. So it's definitely different financially.
Yeah. Why do you think that is, Ella? Why do you think that there's so much difference in that?
I think in terms of finances, like, the average disc golfer, casual player might have 100 discs, might have more than that, and, you know, a couple bags or things like that. And in ultimate, the merchandise isn't really there. And I think also the individual aspect of disc golf helps people be more fans of just specific people or specific brands. And also the cost is way more expensive. Like, if, you know, I win $5,000 for first place at a tournament and a frisbee team wins that, an ultimate team wins that, that's like, you know, you have to split that among 25 people instead of just one person. So it definitely changes that a lot.
So I'm glad that you said that, because that's a question that I had. And like recently I went to an NFL game and yes, you have the fans out there that have Tom Brady on their back or Dak Prescott on their back, but they're there rooting for the Cowboys. And it's like, we want go Buccaneers. Like, they are there for the team, and it's about the team winning versus the player playing. And that kind of is the opposite of what you just said. So I'm curious to hear your take, and like, if you could elaborate on that a little bit more, because in my opinion, I found that if disc golf was more team-based, there would be like team disc mania, team discraft. If there was more of a team feeling, in my opinion, I would think that you would have more fans, but you said different. So I would like to hear you elaborate on that.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really interesting thing. I think, you know, there are some fans who would only buy discraft discs or only buy disc mania discs. And I think that that's like a small element of that. And I think overall, like, I agree with what you're saying about the team thing. I think just Ultimate is starting from like sort of a niche sport, right? Like, both disc golf and Ultimate are niche. And with disc golf, it's easier to like pick a player and just be like, I'm a fan. And because there's such this strong aspect of social media and everything, like, it's really easy to be like, I'm a fan of Paige, you know, like, that's my favorite player, and that's what I've decided. Whereas in Ultimate, it's all kind of like player run, people switch teams. In any given year, you could play in like 5 to 10 different high level tournaments or leagues within different organizations. So there's like College Ultimate, and then Club Ultimate, and then Pro Ultimate, and then like the world, like the national teams and stuff. If you don't know what's going on, it's like pretty hard to jump into Ultimate. It also doesn't help that a lot, and I guess this is true for disc golf too, but a lot of like the tournaments are in the middle of nowhere, 1 hour north of Seattle. I played a ton of tournaments at this big field site, you know, in college and high school and everything, but it's really not the most inviting fan experience either.
Right.
Yeah, I know that that's a big struggle for us to get people to go like an hour south of Des Moines. You know, it's like Des Moines already in the middle of the cornfields. And then,
yeah,
totally. So also something you said was that you couldn't play both. And so I'm wondering, like, about the season in Ultimate. Is it kind of like disc golf is like usually the end of February to the end of October? Is it a similar season? How many games do you play in?
Again, like, there's all these kind of different leagues. Traditionally, it used to just be there was the club season, which was like basically the highest level in the U.S. Tryouts start in like April or May and then go through the end of October. And now they've started with this semi-pro, which usually goes from like February, March until like May, June, July. So that kind of overlaps. And then there's also the college season. So like back when I was in college, I would play my regular season for College Ultimate from January until the end of May. And then I would play club, and it was pretty exhausting.
Yeah, you don't really get a break then in that sense.
Yeah. I definitely got a little burnt out on Ultimate at one point, physically and mentally.
Oh, I believe it. And how do you like move up from, you said club or college to club, then to pro, then to national? Is that how it goes?
I played on a club team when I was in college. And then there's different levels of the national team. So there's the junior national team, which is under 20. There's the under 24 national team. There's the WUCC. Like, there's all sorts of different world championship tournaments and things like that. And yeah, it's very complicated.
Wow. So we're over here, like, you know, being like, oh, the pro tour and the national tour need to combine and work together, like two different tours. It's confusing. It's like you're dealing with multiple. And it's interesting that it's so difficult to figure out like how to go from one to another. So disc golf is like completely individual based, even though you have that team discraft, team disc mania. Like, you don't have someone telling you, hey, this is time to practice, this is time to sign up for this tournament, all that. In Ultimate, do you have that? Do you have someone coaching you through the steps to take?
Teams will have a coach, but most of it is like player run. So you'll have like one of the players on your team will be the coordinator, and they'll make sure the team sign up for tournaments, make sure that everyone is like registered with USA Ultimate, make sure that we have practice fields or, you know, all and jerseys and all the things like that.
Did you ever do any of that coordination while you were playing?
Yeah, I wasn't ever like the official head coordinator because I was usually a captain of the team. Not usually, but I was at some points. And so usually those are kind of you know, you don't want to do both at the same time because it's pretty exhausting.
What are your responsibilities as the captain?
It kind of depends on the team. For me, when I was in college, we had coaches, but we were in Eugene and they lived up in Portland or weren't able to come to practice every day. So I actually ran practices for my college team twice a week. Like, wrote the whole practice plan.
In these?
And did the practices too, yeah.
What? That's
so
crazy.
Pretty involved.
Wow. Like, if players like were like, nah, I'm not coming to practice, were you in charge and you're like, oh, yeah, I'm not playing?
Yeah.
No kind way.
Wow.
Yeah. And it kind of changes, like, at the club level, there's more, you know, coach stuff. And when I was on the national team, like I was a captain, but I was just more of an emotional captain. And obviously we had real coaches.
That makes sense. Yeah,
coaches,
when you're up at that higher level.
Yeah.
How many days a week would you practice? Like, if say you know you have a big tournament coming up, like, what is your practice schedule like for that week or that month before it?
Well, we would just practice, like, regularly. For college, we had practices 3 times a week, and then we would have a lift day one other time a week, and then an agility workout another time a week. So practices would be, like, 3 to 4 hours each time. And then for club, most teams don't practice on the weekdays. They practice on the weekends. So mm-hmm. we would practice for 4 hours Saturday afternoon and then 4 hours Sunday morning.
Oh, my goodness.
And
wow.
It was
four
like...
practice.
Yeah.
What could you possibly do in that time for 4 hours?
Lots of drills, scrimmaging, all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, and you got a bunch of players you're trying to, like, coordinate together and get their timing mm-hmm. together. Like, as an individual, exactly. It seems like, okay, I need an hour of putting, hour of field work, whatever.
Right.
But, wow. Yeah, to try to get everyone.
Yeah. And then you're, like, expected to work on your own skills outside of practice, you know, like throwing or mm-hmm. training and all sorts of stuff like that. Yeah.
Well, speaking of, like, all the positions and, like, the different players, what are the positions? Like, can you describe some of those for us? Because, like, coming from someone who doesn't really know anything about the sport of ultimate, I've only played it in gym, so, like, I don't really know what these are, but, like, could you explain a little bit more to, like, someone who wouldn't understand?
Yeah, there's, like, two main positions in ultimate: handler and cutter. So a handler's kind of more like a quarterback kind of person who will do, like, make bigger throws, and a cutter is more like a wide receiver where you'll, like, kind of run a pattern and catch it and then throw, like, a little short pass to back to a handler or something like that. And you know, at a high level, everyone can throw, everyone can get open and make good cuts, but I was a handler and that's definitely helped.
Ella Hansen, the quarterback.
Yeah, right? The quarterback.
Yeah, so how did that help you just to be able to throw? I mean, literally, you just threw, like, what was it, 580 feet?
560.
560. Yeah. Insane. And, like, so you think that part of it comes from being a handler and knowing how to go for the deep shots?
I think so, yeah. I was known as, like, a pretty long thrower in ultimate as well. And when I was playing ultimate, even before I, like, considered disc golf, like, honestly, a lot of people in ultimate just, like, don't think that much about throwing form and just kind of learn what works. And I really was, like, thinking about throwing form, like, analyzing my own form and trying to get it as efficient as possible. And I think that kind of mentality helped a lot. Plus, just, like, throwing little dinky shots, like, in ultimate, I really love to throw, like, a high-release forehand kind of up top. And just, like, being able to throw shots like that in disc golf for scrambles is, like, really helpful, too.
Yeah, it absolutely crosses over from an outsider looking in, watching you play and, like, playing with you. I remember at 2021 U.S. Women's in California, seeing you throw these certain shots where it's like, wow, no one else is throwing those. You know, it's not like it's, like, that far. Obviously, you throw really far. We just covered that. But, like, the shots that impress me the most are, like, just these, like, little touch shots where you can really, really control the angle and the spin. And I think that is such a huge benefit to coming over from ultimate, is you are already aware of how to spin a frisbee. And so transferring that into a disc. And I'm sure all of our listeners know Brian Earhart very well. He loves players with high spin and he talks about, oh, you're so spinny. And I think of that and I hear Brian's voice when I watch you throw, Ella. And I think it's such a cool and honestly super important thing to learn when you're playing disc golf.
Totally. Yeah. And I think that you know, there's like a lot of things with the form that are very different. But I think that that the element of being able to put spin on the disc definitely helped me so much.
Definitely. So we've talked about the similarities. What are the differences in the form?
I mean, I think for any ultimate player, if you think about throwing a flat throw, it's on so much hyzer and nose up. And I think if you're only used to throwing one disc for your whole life, as I was, it was totally eye-opening to like throw a different kind of disc and be like, why is it, you know,
wow, I never
hyzering out
of that
every single time? Because what a neutral disc actually is like for disc golf is so far off of what how an ultimate disc flies. Really, for me, mentally now it's like two separate forms, but it took a while for me to figure it out where when I was still playing ultimate and I started playing disc golf, and I would like play a couple times a week and then go to play on my league team for ultimate, and I just like could not throw because I was like stuck kind of in between, you know.
That's funny. Oh, but now you've separated them, you said, so that's good. Yeah.
Yeah. Backhand, definitely. Forehand is a work in progress.
I feel that. Yeah, I could see that. I've tried to forehand like an Ultra Star or just like a Frisbee, and I'm like, I can't do it. Like, why is it so easy for a disc, but I can't do it for a
Frisbee? But it's one of the biggest tools to use. Like, for me, that's a lot of my practices is throwing an ultimate disc and to go grab my Ultra Star and to just play catch. And it sounds so silly, but it's serious. Like, it's teaching me how to throw those little scramble shots that you really need on a lot of courses out there, and like how to not over torque it and really utilize that spin like we were talking about. Let's play some catch next time.
Play some catch. Yeah, I need a little catch session right now.
Yeah. Ella and I have had some awesome catch sessions this year.
Oh, yeah. Like, I remember you guys had one at OTB.
OTB was so sick. That was so fun. Right when the main squeeze and Kevin Jones was playing.
We were gosh.
That was so good.
Amazing.
That was so fun. Yeah.
Amazing. So we were trying to get one together at Maple Hill, but didn't work out. We played too much ping pong. We played too
much
ping pong.
Too much around the world. Yeah.
That's
so
awesome.
Ella, I'm curious about another aspect of ultimate to disc golf. Like, so disc golf, as we know, there's been a lot of discussions this year about certain players that take a little bit too long. And you have this 30 seconds of allotted time to prep your shot, figure out what you want to throw, and throw it. And in ultimate, you never get 30 seconds to throw. You have to throw within like a half second, 2 seconds, 3 seconds tops probably. And so I wonder, like, first of all, what do you prefer, the fast-paced or the slow-paced? And then also, do you think learning the fast pace has helped you to be able to transition into that 30-second period?
Yeah, I think so. It definitely was an adjustment when I started playing. So in ultimate, you get a 10-second stall, but you're stalled by the person guarding you. And so it usually ends up being like 7 seconds. And so, yeah, it's pretty fast. And I definitely had to like realize when I first started playing disc golf tournaments, I was like, oh, I don't have to just go right away. I can like take my time. Look at my lie and you know, think through a couple different shots. Yeah, I mean, I think coming from an ultimate perspective, sometimes it is pretty frustrating when people go over 30 seconds. I'm just like, really, you could just throw it, you know? I think it definitely helps me be able to make a decision sometimes, but also it can kind of bite me in the butt sometimes because I'm like, yeah, I'm just going to do this. And then I throw it and it's bad. And I'm like, oh, I really should have thought about that.
But you've trusted your gut so many times. Like when I'm playing catch and as soon as it comes into your hands, you like throw it right away. Yeah. There's no thought. And like, we're dropping dimes to each other, you and I, Ella.
Totally.
Like we're just like, and there's no thought. It's just boom. And so I think about the players, Valerie Mondujano and actually her sister, Alexis Mondujano and Paige Shu. Like they're so fast and certain players, you know, if they go fast, if they break their routine and they go fast, it's like, oh, they're upset, something's wrong, blah, blah, blah. But those players, they do it every time and they do it well and they throw great shots. And I wonder if it's a little bit of an advantage to go quick and to trust your body and to not put so much thought into it.
I think it is. And I think for me, like as a player, I've thought about that where I'm kind of like, at a certain point, if I just go faster, not like rush myself, but if I just don't take time to think, I think it usually helps me, but I feel like the margin for error can kind of be bigger, or like if I mess up bigger than if I, you mm-hmm. know, take my time and think about it. So that's definitely kind of a tough thing to think about. But I think that for players who it works for, I think it's like really good. I think with like Val and Alexis, I feel like both of them, when they're on and they're doing that, it's like working so well for them. But like when they mess up, they kind of mess up big time. You know yeah. what I mean?
Because they didn't put enough thought or?
Yeah, I think so. Or I think it's just like when you slow it down, I feel like you kind of have the opportunity to stay a little bit more controlled, I guess.
Yeah, it really depends on the way you look at it, because you could say disc golf, you have an advantage because you have more time, you're allowed to. And something you said earlier, actually, I think about Ultimate so often and I've never thought about this. Like in disc golf, we have 15, 20, 40 discs in our bags, you know, some players. In Ultimate, you literally learn one disc. And I think that part really is difficult for the disc golf side of things, because you learn that one disc super well, but it takes disc golfers a lot more time to learn their bag. And then if we lose a disc, hope we don't, you know, it takes a long time to find a replacement, where in Ultimate you don't have that at all.
Yeah, I kind of actually blew some of my friends' minds. I went down to Eugene and played my alumni tournament, which was super fun for
Ultimate?
College Ultimate. Yeah.
Cool. Sweet.
And that's I so kind fun. Of blew some people's minds by telling them like older, like more beat up discs fly differently. And they were like, what? Like they fly different? I was like, yeah. Like
that's so and funny.
Yeah, yeah, they had never even thought about that before, which was kind of funny. But yeah, I mean, sometimes I feel like I should just play a tournament with like 4 discs and see what happens, because I feel
totally.
Like I could probably shoot better, but then I'm, you know, a little afraid to do that.
I want to look into Paige Shu's stats for D-Glo. Last time she played it, first of all, she's a really fast player. And second of all, she had one of those like over the shoulder sling bags and it had like 5 discs in it. And I'm like, man, she's probably a genius. Like,
yeah,
I bet her round went super smooth. She maintained her energy. She wow. cut her thought process down. And I want to look up those yeah. stats and see how she did at that tournament. And yeah, anyway, I'm just, it's fascinating to me, because there are so many similarities, and mm-hmm. people have judgments, whether good or bad. You know, oh, Ella Hansen, she's coming in from Ultimate, no wonder she's so good, or, you know, whatever. And it's like, there are similarities, but there's also so many differences.
I listened to like Brian Earhart's podcast, you know, a long time ago, and he talked about like the difference between like Eagle and Simon, and how Simon just like throws whatever angles, and like Eagle has played a ton of tournaments where he throws like on slight hyzer for every single shot, just with a different disc. And I think that is like a really interesting thing to think about, because I feel like as a player, I try to throw a lot of different angles. And I think that is a big thing that comes from Ultimate, is being able to use a lot of different release points. And I think there's some players who prefer to throw specific angles off the tee or on approach shots like all the time.
That's another part of just like, you know, with it not being team based, like you get to make your own decisions on that front. And like, yeah, it might be better. Like Eagle might have the advantage because it's easier to replicate the shot time after time, but it might not be as fun as Simon's round or your yeah. round, Ella, you know, like yeah. where you're like, man, I just got to throw every disc in my bag. I got to try Annie's straight shots, hyzer flips, hyzers, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's where the fun is for me, is like, wow, I just threw a shot today that I haven't thrown in 2 years, you know, and like that's cool. And you can always find the hyzer most of the time. You might have to do a yeah. grenade or something, but
totally.
You can always find the easy shot, but sometimes it's fun to throw the hard shot.
Yeah, absolutely.
This podcast is brought to you by Grip Equipment, the world's leading disc golf bag company. Since 2009, they've been at the forefront of creating the world's most comfortable, durable, and innovative bags on the market. Check out their wide variety of bags at grip-eq.com. One of my favorite things about Grip Equipment's bags is that they have back padding. I honestly feel like my back is relieved from any kind of stress. It just is a really comfortable bag. Sometimes Cam asks me if he wants to caddy and wear my bag, and sometimes I don't let him because it's honestly that comfortable. So whether you're looking for your first disc golf bag or you're wanting to upgrade your gear, head to grip-eq.com today to find the perfect bag for you. We have heard that you have played college Ultimate and all of that stuff there. Do you think disc golf will get to a point where that's more popular, or what are your thoughts on that?
I think so. It seems like it's growing. I mean, I haven't really been super involved in or seen much of what college disc golf is about, but I think so. I mean, I think I actually was like, I was very close to playing a college disc golf tournament when I was in college. And the only reason I didn't play was because I had an Ultimate tournament that weekend.
What year was that? Was it close to the time you got into disc golf?
I think it must have been 2019. Yeah, Riley Warren almost convinced me. She was one of my classmates. And yeah, I think I would have done it, but I had a tournament. Yeah, it seems like it's growing. And I think that it's a really good way to, you know, grow the sport of disc golf. And I think especially as the youth contingent of disc golfers grows mm-hmm. as well, I'm curious what will happen, because, you know, we see people like Gannon and other young players who are just like skipping out on high school, skipping college, and, you know,
it's just crazy.
Not even thinking about that and just going to play professionally. So I'm curious if that will change at all. But I think still there's, you know, a few players on tour, especially on the MPO side this year, like Robert Burridge and mm-hmm. Chandler Kramer, who played in college. And, you know, I think that definitely helped them prepare for being on tour.
I know in disc golf now you work with Uplay and you help them coach and teach youth. Did you ever do that in Ultimate?
Yes, I did that a ton. I started coaching when I was in high school, coaching middle schoolers. And then all through college, I basically spent my whole summers teaching camps and things like that. Out of college, I ended up as the executive director of a youth Ultimate nonprofit, arranging that and coaching and stuff. So yeah, I have a lot of experience coaching, and also helped out coaching my college team for a year as well. So before I started playing disc golf.
That's awesome. And that's the Oregon Fugue?
Mm-hmm. Oregon Fugue, yeah.
Did you play with them your entire collegiate career? I know you guys won the collegiate champs in 2015.
Yep.
Is that your whole time?
Yeah, that was my freshman year that we won nationals. And yeah, I played with them. I was in college for 5 years, so I played all 5 years. Captained my last 3 years, and it was great.
Cool. That's amazing. And you won the gold medal for the U.S. Women's National Team at 2018 World Championships as well?
Yeah, the 2018 under 24 World Championships. Yeah, 2018 and 2019. Both of them were super fun tournaments.
You won both.
Yeah, it was great.
Wow.
So it's like...
No way.
So there's different divisions, obviously. Like, you know, we have so many different juniors levels, and then, you know, recreational, intermediate, advanced, pro. What are the levels in Ultimate?
Yeah, like for the national teams and for the like World Championships, there's the under 20, which is like juniors, and then under 24, and then there's like what most of us call big kid worlds, which is just like no age limit. And then there's like also masters world, so they have all of that. But being masters in Ultimate is a lot different than being a master in disc golf. I think for women you just have to be 30 to play masters.
Yeah, that is different. Yeah, that's very different.
Yeah. And then there's also like the World Games and World Club Championships, where it's like not a U.S. national team, but like different club teams from the U.S. compete at, or from the U.S. and around the world compete at the World Championships.
Cool.
Super cool.
I'm fascinated, Ella. Thank you for answering so many questions. Like, we do still have more, but I have to just interrupt you and just say, like, I'm learning so much about Ultimate, and I've already had conversations with you, but obviously we're also trying to practice for disc golf, so.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I'm wondering if it's possible to play Ultimate tournaments and disc golf tournaments. Like, so 2023, you get the itch back, you're trying to play Ultimate. Could you play both? Like, do you think there's room for that?
I think it's possible. It depends on the team. It depends on how many disc golf tournaments you want to play.
Right.
There's definitely overlap in tournaments, and there's some that I just, you know, wouldn't be able to go to. I already know there's an Ultimate tournament on Labor Day weekend, but obviously I wouldn't be able to play because that's going to be Worlds, and that's a priority. And yeah, I think it kind of depends. The tough thing is that, like I said, most teams practice on the weekend. So it's like,
right, you would
play
miss
tournaments
all the
on the weekend like disc golf. So it's kind of tough. If I wanted to play, I would have to like either drive or fly back to wherever I, whatever team I wanted to play with, so I could practice as much as I can. And they would also have to be like okay with me playing as someone who is just saying like, yeah, I'm probably not going to be able to make half of the stuff, you know?
Right, but then I'm just going to come in.
Yeah.
Well, and like the one that you went to the weekend after Idlewild, I remember you hung out in the Cincinnati area to go watch. Could, is there any world where you could have played that event?
Yeah, I think so. So that was the World Club Championships, and there were a lot of club teams there. There were a lot of club teams from other countries that didn't have enough players, and so they picked up a lot of American players. So I'm sure if I wanted to, I could have been like, yeah, like, hey, I want to play, which would have been fun. Yeah, I mean, I think it's possible. I actually played at the, I played on a club team last year, so I only did like sort of half of the disc golf tour in 2021, and I ended up playing on a club team in the Bay Area, but they were okay with me only being at like two practices and basically playing like the regional championships and the national championships. So it really just kind of depends on the team and what they're trying to achieve. And that the hard thing is that, you know, I'm would want to play on a top level team, and most top level teams don't want somebody who isn't going to be there for
halfway
a lot
committed
of time. So
yeah,
it would kind of have
makes
to
sense.
Be a,
it you makes sense be like fully committed and all that.
You could be a bencher, though.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Ride the bench, you know, wait for your chance, and then just scoot in and shoot the game-winning game-winning shot.
Yeah.
But speaking of being fully committed, now that you have a new van, sounds like you're fully committed to disc golf now. So tell us about how you got the van, what it is, what it looks like, kind of work you're doing on it.
I'm really stoked about it. I had to drive back to the West Coast after the DGPT Championships, and I actually was just looking literally anywhere across the country for the best deal on a van.
Nice.
Ended up picking it up in Bend, Oregon. Yeah, it's a new Ram ProMaster. It's empty. I'm building it out. I just put windows in.
Sweet.
Doing all the work myself, and
yay.
I'm very excited about it, and it's a little stressful, but I'm stoked. It's fun.
That's awesome, Ella. Well, I have an extra compressor fridge if you need it. I don't know how you're going to get it, but
I'll hit you up.
You should also tell the people what you were driving last year. Man, Ella, like, you grinded it out last year.
Yeah,
she had a good setup, though.
She did.
I did.
It was pretty nice.
I was driving an old 2004 Toyota Sienna. Built out a bed in there. Had a fridge, you know. Had power and stuff, and It could have been a lot worse, but it definitely, I'm very excited about being able to like sit up in bed and stand up and cook inside and all that stuff.
Especially when you're a full-time athlete. Like that is the part to me that is like, you're just so sore after driving. Like my fiance Cam and I, we drove Paige's van actually from Worlds last year from Kansas all the way to Vermont. And that was the part for me that I found, like, if I had to play a tournament this like in the next couple days, like your body is just so stiff. So like,
totally
definitely have to be proactive about it. You know, it's like when I'm driving, I don't really want to stop, but I really, it's better if I stop and at least just move my body around a little bit.
Totally. And I think honestly, like one benefit of having the smaller vehicle, I don't get me wrong, you're going to love van life. And I think that you made a great decision, but I would say when I used to travel in like a little, like I had a Ford Escape or a Hyundai Santa Fe before I got a van. And I found that I spent so much more time practicing because I didn't have the comfort of my home. So like, I'll challenge you to like, don't get too comfortable in that bed you're about to build, because it's so nice. You literally just close the door, and like you just said, like you can't even stand up in the Sienna. So like, as soon as you got to where you were going, you got out and you went and played. So just think about that a little bit, because it's so easy. We all know this as humans, like not just as a 2021 rookie of the year. Like it's easy to get comfortable and to get complacent and just to do the lazy thing. And it's going to be so comfortable that it might be a problem at times.
I'll keep that in mind. I appreciate the tips.
Yeah. Was your transition from disc golf into ultimate literally propelled by when you filmed that tournament at the national championships? Did you already know about disc golf before then, or is that pretty much the main thing that made you want to play disc golf?
I mean, I knew about disc golf. I actually filmed at USDGC twice. I filmed in 2018, and that was my first time knowing about what disc golf, or like seeing a real tournament in person. I knew okay. what it was, you know, but I didn't realize how big the pro world was. Filmed on hole 17 the whole weekend. I filmed nice. Yuli acing it and a couple other aces, and then sweet. I pretty much forgot about disc golf for a few years. Ended up being basically forced to play a round of disc golf like a year and a half later, and then I was like, oh, this is cool. That's when I really started playing. Like, once I was actually, I had gotten a real disc golf disc in my hand, then I started playing. Yeah, filmed the first ever throw pink, whatever it's called, in 2020. And I was catch cam for you, Paige, like the whole time.
Whoa. Yep.
That was really exciting for me because I had been sort of starting to play disc golf, and I had kind of had this inkling like, oh, like I might be able to be really good at this and like compete. And so I like brought my discs and I played a couple rounds on the course, and I was like, okay, like, yeah, I that was when I was really wow. like, I could do this, I think.
Super
yeah.
eye-opening, I'm sure.
That's mm-hmm. amazing, Ella. Cool. Seriously, we're so happy that, I mean, you're literally the jack of all trades. Like, you went from ultimate to teaching to filming to now you're playing disc golf, now you're building out a van. Like, we're so happy to have you in the sport. And honestly, I think it's just such a testament to like other female athletes, like to be able to come into this sport and to find success. Earlier in the podcast, you mentioned that you just went to your alumni tournament. You blew their minds with showing them that a old disc beat in, you know, flies different, whatever. Anyway, when you were there, did you try to like convince any of them to play disc golf? Because of all the things that you've said throughout this episode, that disc golf has been so much better for you. It's been more lucrative. It's been, you know, a cool venture for you to travel into an individual sport. Did you try to convince them, or just to show them how appealing it is in that aspect?
A little bit. I think there was more trying to convince me to go back no. to playing ultimate.
No.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, yeah. When it was like 20 against one, you know, like yeah. all my yeah. teammates were still playing. And
but when you say, I mean, hey, look at my rookie of the year disc, look at all my merch sales, yeah. like, yeah, they gotta exactly. they gotta be a little bit inspired by that. Like, you're getting merchandise. You have I yeah. literally own it, one of your jerseys, you know?
Yeah. Like, yeah. No, how cool I is that? Definitely think that it's really cool. It's really so cool. There were some people, some of my old teammates who were like, yeah, like I've been playing disc golf, let's play, which is really cool for me. I don't know if they're really trying to like do it on a pro level, but I know like a lot of my old teammates and friends play disc golf, if not regularly, but like in the off season and occasionally, which is dope. And I think honestly, with the pandemic, there are so many ultimate players who just started watching disc golf. I think there's some, I don't know. It's tough now that ultimate has like tournaments are back on and everything. Mm-hmm. I think it's really easy to be in that world. And I think that honestly, it took the pandemic happening for me to kind of like be a little forced out of the world to be like, oh, there's mm-hmm. this whole other thing that's really cool and all these really great people and everything. So I've tried. I think that there's like also a couple of people who, you know, like, there's definitely specific skill sets, like I said, in terms of like being a thrower that
right.
translate better to disc golf. So, yeah.
Ella, we have one last parting question for you, and thank you again so much for coming on. We are, yeah, very grateful. You opened up our eyes to a whole different side of ultimate that I have never seen, so thank you for that. But our last question for you is, how are you making disc golf more approachable in your community?
I think the main thing that I really love doing is working with Uplay Disc Golf. I know y'all have had Zoe on here before, but just being able to teach people how to play, seeing the joy that they bring
yeah.
to the game, And I've also been teaching some lessons myself around the Northwest, which has been really great. And I also did a podcast with some Ultimate friends told them about disc golf.
Yeah,
and they were like, they literally said, darn, I have to start being a disc golf fan. It's so interesting. So
that's awesome.
So good. Yeah.
I'll have to listen to it. Make sure you let us know the link and we'll try to drop it in the bio and let the Ultimate fans hear a little bit of that too.
Awesome. So I got you.
So where can people find you and how can we get connected and stay in the loop of your season? What can we do?
Yeah, you can follow me on Instagram at OneThrowElla. I'm also on Twitter at BagelPowered if you're into the Twitter.
Oh yeah, we're into it.
Yeah, I'm trying to document all my van building stuff on my YouTube channel, which is I think also OneThrowElla if you're into that kind of thing.
All right, Ella, we want to hear about some of your disc sales that you have going on right now. Is there anything you want to shout out? Let us know.
Yeah, I have a Shield Series disc at Discmania. You can get it on the website. It's an Origin. It's pretty dope. It's got a nice little octopus stamp on it.
Origin's the understable mid-range, correct?
Yeah. I'd say it's kind of similar to your Soul, maybe a little faster. What else? You can use the code ELLA10 for 10% off at Upper Park.
Awesome. Okay, sweet.
Awesome, Ella. Well, like the USAUltimate.org says, she has fierce defensive footwork, powerful deep looks, and creative pulls. And now,
heck yeah,
she's the longest thrower in the women's division.
That's
and
right.
I mean, so much more to come.
And her ceiling is so high. Yeah.
It's so high. Thank you so much, Ella, for joining us and just sharing some insight on the crossovers between Ultimate and Disc Golf.
Of course. Thanks for having me on.
Oh my gosh. Ella has so much knowledge when it comes to Ultimate, and I'm so glad she was able to come on. What a great episode, Paige.
I really enjoyed that conversation. And honestly, like, even just beyond the Ultimate too, just like her just love for the way that Frisbees fly. And, you know, she went from Ultimate. She's coaching her team. She's like the captain and scheduling practices. She's over, you know, jumping into disc golf, jumping into filming, like she's all over the place, and her hard work is definitely paying off. I feel so happy for her, and honestly, like, almost like a little sisterly pride for her, like so proud of her, she's done so well for herself, and that all just comes with just underlying passion. And like you said, Joe, she's made all of disc sports, she's made approachable. She's
definitely
truly taught so many people and shown the joy in it. And that's just so cool to have someone so pure at heart growing our sport.
Yeah, I have gotten to know Ella quite a bit. She actually stayed with my family and I at Las Vegas Challenge. I didn't know anything about her, but the moment I met her, I was like, okay, we're going to be friends. Like, you're so cool. You're so approachable and, like, just easy to talk to, easy to get along with. So glad she's in the sport for sure.
Me too. And now she's got the van and she's jumping on a full-time tour again this year in 2023. So make sure you guys keep your eyes on her. She'll have her PDJ profile. You can see all of the tournaments she's playing. And also, you know, follow her on her socials that she plugged. You never know. She might end up playing an Ultimate tournament or sharing some of those Ultimate highlights that she was talking about.
Definitely.
And I'm sure anything that she's got going on, you guys are going to want to see. Thank you guys so much for listening. And we got so many questions and ideas of topics or guests to have via our email. And so we just want to say thank you guys all for interacting with us and listening to the podcast and buying the merch and supporting it. Like, Joe and I were at multiple tournaments together and we would see an approachable shirt walk by and it was just the coolest thing in the world.
It was
so
crazy. Yeah, it was so cool.
It means a lot to us and we just want to say thank you so much. And if you do have any questions, comments, concerns, ideas, shoot them at us. Joe, what's the email?
It's approachable@joebenzpro.com. Thank you guys so much. We're so pumped on everything that this community is and what it is to us. And we hope to see you guys around more.
Catch you on the next episode.
Thanks for tuning into Approachable, presented by Grip Equipment, empowered by Joebenz Pro.